Dale Stevens is with us. He's a pretty buff bloke. Maybe he could rip his shirt off, and that would result in numerous people lining up to vote and enrol. Hey, Dale, ten aren't we, man?
Oh, look, I'm still having wild, awful thoughts of Matthew Tukaki without a shirt. Let's save Aotearoa from that one.
Save Aotearoa from Matthew. That could be a campaign threatening to disrobe in order to up the ante.
That's the way.
Yep, good enough.
That's the way. Yeah. If you disrobe it this time of year, mate, there'd be nothing to see.
Yeah, I know. It's cold as, certainly down your way.
Yeah.
Look, I was listening to a guy the other day. And he was touching on the amount of money Kiwis spend to travel overseas. Enormous. And, you know, if we stayed home and holidayed at home, it would fuel our economy and certainly help Māori tourism operators. How prevalent is it? What sorts of numbers are spending their rest time, their holiday opportunities by, you know, heading offshore, mate?
Look, it's quite commonly known that about 60% of our tourism revenue in the country is driven by domestic demand. But what we don't see figures on is how much people are spending to holiday outside New Zealand. We know that we have the joy of living in one of the most beautiful countries in the world, but the curse of being so far from anywhere else. So it does cost the New Zealand traveller a lot to get to other countries. You might remember probably 30 years ago there was a campaign, don't leave home till you've seen the country. And I do wonder at times whether we do the right thing by domestic travellers or our domestic opportunity and provide the right kind of ideas and motivations for our whānau to actually take their holidays in New Zealand. People get obsessed with they've got to travel overseas. Well, my wife and I decided next summer holiday we're going to have an extra holiday in New Zealand because there's stuff we just want to see.
Jed, we need, if we could, encourage people to stay at home. How do we get people to do that rather than, because our hospitality business is needed, our Māori tourism, our ACOM, they're in desperate need, but you know, domestic tourism is a vital part of the wheel of Māori tourism. So how do we encourage more of our people to do just that?
And look, it's no surprise that one of the great issues for New Zealanders is our young people leaving the country. That's almost like a rite of passage. But the trick for us, is how to get our Kiwi, our rangatahi, to come back to New Zealand. And it's the same challenge that we have in the tourism sector. How do we get our domestic people, travellers, to spend more time seeing more of what's in New Zealand? I actually think you'll find that's growing anyway, because there has become quite a growing interest into our Māori from our non-Māori whānau, and we are seeing quite a lot of that transferring across to taking tourism opportunities. Now, the trick for our tourism operators is to ensure that they have the right mix of offerings so that, for example, we know that the inbound international tourists will probably have more discretionary income to spend. So there's an opportunity to provide a premium type of offering, a 120 minute offering for the premium inbound. But for our domestic tourists, maybe there's a way to split up, have almost a two-tier system where our domestic offering might be a 30 to 45 minute, more locally based, where you can draw the assumption that our domestic tourists would know a certain amount already, so it could take the domestic tourists a lot deeper in a shorter period of time than you would with the international. So a decent understanding of that market split would help our operators, and I've seen many of them already that have worked that out, and they quite clearly are offering two types of experience, one for the inbound, one for the local. And I think you'll find that growth is taking place already. The trick for us is to how we speed that up, because the minute the gates got opened again on travel after COVID, Kiwis left the country. So how do we get them to get over that and spend their time at home? It's quite a challenge for likes of Tourism New Zealand to do the actual marketing for the country.
Yeah, and we need to market to ourselves, I guess. It's very convenient to be able to jump a flight to Fiji or particularly Australia. But international visitors want genuine connection over flash experiences, or that's the feedback we get. Can deeper integration with Māori tourism help save some of these struggling mainstream cafes and restaurants and bars by giving them a unique competitive edge?
If I look at a community like, let's use Kaitaia, I know it reasonably well, the work that's being done between mana whenua and the local proprietors who are not Māori gives me real cause for hope, because what I can see in so many situations, not just Kaitaia, but in many of our rural or provincial areas, we've got the mana whenua working alongside the restaurants and cafes and the parks and the local councils, so that the pūrākau of Te Ao Māori is woven into all of the offerings across a particular area, then everybody wins. And I think where Māori really do come to the fore here is in that collaboration piece. You know, Māori, we're generally very happy to have our stories shared and told and enjoyed by anybody. What we do want to make sure is that the stories are respected and told appropriately. So I can see a growing opportunity for some of our areas where our non-Māori operators may be struggling to work alongside our Māori operators. We already know that Māori operators collaborate really well, but we can take that wider community approach that would certainly help out some of our struggling hospo, entertainment, cafeteria, food type places.
You know, as they close, and there are plenty closing, I mean, there's a downturn in people's drinking and our alcohol habits are changing. We know that, and there's a global move in that direction. So we're seeing closures and hardships, yes, but in adversity, there's opportunity. What would you say of, you know, seizing the moment? And, you know, they say early to bed, early to rise, work hard and advertise. Is this the time when things are looking particularly tough, when it's time for the tough to get going and get in and have a go?
Well, I guess our most recent experience was what was happening with our operators through and post-COVID. So when COVID came along, many of our operators had no choice but to close down. They were reliant on international visitors. They weren't coming. They were reliant on domestic, because we weren't leaving our communities. So many, many of our operators then mothballed their operations. The majority of them got back going again once the borders were opening up and business was resuming. But many of them have had to re-engineer their offering to make sure that they are better able to meet the needs of the now more discerning traveller. And you're absolutely right. The focus on alcohol seems to be changing substantially, especially with our young people, which is fantastic. But there's also now a quite a discerning palate being identified. People who are really enjoying experiencing local cuisine, food they don't normally get at home, preparation styles they don't normally see, being part of the process of the collection of the food, the cooking of the food, the sharing of the food, and the telling of the stories that go along with it. So many of our businesses have already had this come across their desk post-COVID and have moved towards that. Once again, I think there's been some great lessons there. And one of the biggest lessons is the idea of manaakitanga not just being what we do, but actually being a key offering and built into that whole hospitality experience. And the concept of our values driving our tourism offering, because it's actually the values that many of our, certainly our internationals and many, many more of our domestics want to see. They want to understand Māori values, and that can only be good for our society as a whole.
Tēnā koe. I read this report saying that a lot of young people now are meeting in kaupapa that coincides with their fitness regimes, fun runs, walks, you know, and so the pub mentality is vastly different now. Pickleball, things like that. Yeah. And so, you know, there are ways for us to be innovative to acknowledge this change. The government wants to double tourism exports by 2034, but You advocate for high quality connection over mass volume. How can struggling businesses shift towards that high value cultural experience without pricing out local customers?
Yeah, it's interesting when you're talking about the health and vitality part of what our rangatahi are looking at now. I can tell you from many conversations I've had in the last probably 4 or 5 weeks about just what value is now being added to the Māori economy through a growing understanding of matatini and the lifestyle that matatini is now projecting and the engagement that it has with all ages. And the immense interest that is growing for matatini and kapahaka and the lifestyle that goes with it. So I see a real opportunity here for us to quite intentionally pivot towards using the likes of our regional kapahaka, our national kapahaka, the health and well-being aspects that go with it, the whole order, all the various positive elements of Te Ao Māori around whole order. I see that as a real opportunity, and I see that as a tourism offering that our whānau can bring forward and be rightfully proud of. So I think you'll find that there's going to be an opportunity, and there is growing evidence of it, that people coming to New Zealand are coming for a health and wellness experience as much as they are for a cultural or a sightseeing experience, and I think those are real opportunities.
Can we wrap up with a bit of an update on your recent meeting with the head of UNESCO for the Pacific and potential for the Pacific Heritage Trail that we discussed last time around? Any updates there, Dale?
Yeah, look, I had a great meeting with, so Esther Lourache is the head of South America, South Pacific, so she's number two in UNESCO. And she was explaining to me how they put together the Heritage Trail down through South America, using as guide markers, I guess, the World Heritage sites that have already been declared. Now, if you look at the South Pacific and the migrational stories that we know and we live, they actually fit in alongside, I think it's 39 World Heritage sites that are currently identified and in operation throughout the South Pacific. Of those 39, there's only about 11 or 12 of them that are cultural sites. The rest are all natural sites. And we don't have any cultural sites in New Zealand. So one of the things I'm pondering with officials at the moment is how we create, it's quite a simple process, but how we create a couple more heritage sites in New Zealand based around culture. And then we can go into that piece of work around coordinating how that might all link up to create a heritage trail that travels its way down through the South Pacific, utilises the various networks, connections and facilities of UNESCO, and enables us to bring all our whānau across Pacific to tell that story together. And that way we can create an Indigenous tourism network alongside that that creates opportunities for Indigenous to Indigenous commercial opportunities for inbound tourists. So the short answer is great enthusiasm for this. We've got a bit of admin work to do here in New Zealand to get this looking right. It won't take a lot of money to get it up and running, but it certainly does take a lot of, agreement and coordination across the South Pacific. My initial discussions have been very positive in that regard, because anything that can bring to light the opportunities for global travellers and global citizens to see the South Pacific and understand the stories and understand how we came to be where we are and who we are, I think this is a really big opportunity for us going forward.
Yeah, tēnā koe, we always enjoy our conversations. Thanks very much for sharing some time with us again this morning, Chief. Mauri ora kia koe, and looking
and
forward to...
And keep Matthew locked away.
Well, keep Matthew locked away. Thank you. Thanks very much. I don't know how he'll take that. He's a pretty good sort of a dude, Matthew. And
you'll take it well from me.
Okay, ka pai, ka pai. Thanks very much. Dale Stevens with us today.
All right,
yeah, well, I did say, well, Matthew, if you rip your shirt off, I'll do the same. But, you know.